Geschichten über Liebe, Verlust und übernatürliche Ereignisse. Dafür ist die Autorin Audrey Niffenegger bekannt. Im ersten Teil des Interviews hat sie Schreibtipps gegeben und von der Arbeit an ihrem Erstlingsroman erzählt, Die Frau des Zeitreisenden. Wie sieht es mit der Fortsetzung zu ihrem Bestseller aus? Was hat sie zu ihrem zweiten Roman inspiriert? Und wohin steuert die Zukunft des Buchmarkts ihrer Meinung nach? Das alles und mehr hört ihr jetzt im zweiten Teil. 2009 erschien Audreys zweiter Roman, Die Zwillinge von Highgate, im Original Her Fearful Symmetry. Die Geistergeschichte handelt von den Zwillingen Julia und Valentina, die nach London in das Haus ihrer verstorbenen Tante ziehen. Die Idee für das Buch begann allerdings mit einer Figur, die am Ende ein Nebencharakter wurde.
The idea that I had was to write about a man who has agoraphobia and OCD and can't leave his apartment. Then I thought, well, okay, that's going to be a really short story. And I thought, okay, there'll be someone who visits him. So these characters became Martin and Julia. And then Julia had an obnoxious roommate. But then I thought, oh, you know, I don't like her. So I balled her up and turned her into Valentina, Julia's twin. If you make a character, that character needs family and friends. They need a place to be. And so you grow this little world for them, and then all the family and friends need family and friends. And if you don't watch out, you've got War and Peace, you know, with 100 characters mipping around needing to be followed. If you can keep it reasonably under control, I think that's a great way to make a world.
Die Zwillinge treten in der Geschichte in Kontakt mit dem Gespenst ihrer Tante. Die Idee einer Geistergeschichte kam für Audrey erst während des Schreibens.
The whole idea of making it a ghost story was kind of a late addition because I wanted Valentina and Julia to be Martin's neighbors, but they are far too young to afford that flat. And so at that point I thought, okay, I'll give them an aunt who's died and left it to them. And then I started to think about who she was, and then I thought, oh, she's actually cooler than most of the other people in the book. It's a pity she's dead. And I thought, well, okay, it's fine. She's dead, but she's in the book. She's a ghost. Here we go. And then I started thinking about Victorian ghost stories, and I thought, okay, I'm going to put all the cliches in. Just every tired old thing I'm going to put in there and see if I can reanimate it.
Wird es jemals eine Verfilmung von Die Zwillinge von Highgate geben?
For a little while, the BBC was working on that. You know, for the right actors, I think it would be a lot of fun. So, you know, you never know, it could happen eventually, but people change jobs, and so that went away. I mean, it's like I say, you know, if you're depending on people in the film and TV industry to stay put and see things through, it's just not that kind of industry. It's a wonder anything ever goes on for more than one season or gets made at all. So we'll see what new projects spring up instead.
Neben ihren beiden Romanen hat Audrey auch einige Kurzgeschichten und Comics geschrieben. Wie entscheidet sie, welche Geschichte in welchem Format geschrieben wird?
There's certain ideas that don't really want to expand too much. Occasionally I write a short story and then I think, oh, I really liked that world. It's a little bit of a pity that it's just, you know, this little short story. So I've been working on a series of linked short stories around one that I wrote ages ago called The Night Bookmobile. You know, because that's just kind of my perfect happy place is this, the afterlife as a library. So someday I hope to get a book-length collection of those together.
Im ersten Teil des Interviews hat Audrey von einem Roman erzählt, an dem sie seit 2012 arbeitet. Der aktuelle Arbeitstitel ist The Other Husband, auf Deutsch Der andere Ehemann. Hierbei handelt es sich um eine Fortsetzung zu ihrem ersten Buch.
The book I'm working on and have been working on forever and ever is about 600 pages now. It's very complicated because it's a sequel to The Time Traveler's Wife, and so it had to dovetail with all of that very complicated timekeeping.
Bisher ist bereits bekannt, dass die Fortsetzung auch in der Zukunft spielen wird. Wie balanciert Audrey den langen Schreibprozess mit den gesellschaftlichen Entwicklungen in über 10 Jahren?
For me, it's actually a relief that I have taken so long because, of course, the big risk about writing something that does extend into the future is that it's all going to be contradicted by the real future. The latest date in this book is 2098, and I'm sure I'll be so incredibly wrong about what's going on in 2098. But what's been funny to me is all the things I put in the book and then they happened. I didn't predict the pandemic, but I was very relieved that I was still working on it during and after the pandemic so I could put those events in, because that has been so life-altering for everybody. The events since 2016 have been so important and intense. And I started writing the book in 2012 when the world was, dare I say, seeming more optimistic. And at the time that I started it, what I mainly was going to be thinking about was climate change. And the book still has a lot to do with climate change, but the politics of everything have really gotten in there.
Wie passt sie den Roman weiter an?
So what I am trying to do is to make the characters function in the world that we're living in and extrapolate forward what I think might be coming. And the climate change thing is only accelerating, so I feel pretty confident about the way my book ends. Part of the philosophical problem of the book is, how do you act when you know what's going to happen? You know, like in the first book, the tug between free will and determinism, and how do you not just give up if you know what's coming and you don't like it?
Und wie sieht es sonst mit dem Fortschritt des Buches aus?
I am close to getting it done. My agent, Joe Regal, has always been an excellent editor for me, and we took some time to do a huge structural edit to change the order that the reader gets information. And in order to do something like that, you have to get in there and do a lot of continuity work. What we did was we swapped the first section and the second section. So in order for the thing to be functional for the reader, I'm having to go back and really fit things together very carefully. It's sort of as though you had a jigsaw puzzle and it was all put together, and then you decided to move all the pieces around and make them fit again.
Zeitreisen und Geister sind nur ein paar der übernatürlichen Aspekte, die in Audreys Geschichten vorkommen. Wie können Fantasy-Elemente genutzt werden, um echte Probleme und Emotionen zu reflektieren?
A lot of the things we are unable to do, or things that don't occur in our lives, abilities that we wish to have, you know, invisibility, flying, time travel, the existence of ghosts and an afterlife. The wish to be more than you are is huge, you know, to live longer, to experience more, to transcend distance. In speculative fiction, you can run the experiment of changing one or two of these rules of the real world. And the great thing about a book is the ability to be inside somebody's head. The more grounded things are in reality, the more eloquently the situation can unfold when you bring in something paranormal.
Im letzten Jahr hat der Fortschritt von einer technologischen Neuerung auch in der Buchwelt für Wellen gesorgt. Wie steht Audrey zum Thema künstliche Intelligenz?
I really think it's up to us how AI is going to be, and I bet that given human nature, that there will be a lot of bad AI and some good AI. and I'm sure we will misuse it rampantly all the time, because that's just what we do. I mean, you can't really blame the machines for how the machines are used. Also, the fact that the people who are building AI are violating copyright left and right is irritating. The things they're giving AI to read are often not theirs to work with. They're just taking them. So that's pretty concerning. I don't say that AI is capable of mischief exactly, but I think it's certainly capable of obeying instructions to a fault. And the people who are giving the instructions can't always know where their instructions will lead.
In der heutigen Zeit gibt es zahlreiche Möglichkeiten zur Unterhaltung. Filme, Fernsehen, Spiele, Podcasts, Kurzvideos. Wo sieht Audrey den Platz für Romane heutzutage?
I think that people love to write them so much that they will never disappear. And certainly people love to read them. The problem right now is that publishers are swamped. There's so many people who would like to get their novels published, and it's more than what the publishers can put out. And so you have self-publishing, where people are frustrated because the bookstores won't carry them and things get lost because there are so many and there's no apparatus for publishing them or getting them reviewed or bringing them to people's attention. And so there's probably excellent self-published things that just are going to never get anywhere because people don't know they exist. I think the problem for publishing is trying to be responsive to what people actually want to read. I think that publishing used to support people longer. That is to say, if your debut didn't get traction, people used to be able to write two or three or four books that sold a bit and then have a hit with their fifth or sixth book. Publishing doesn't hang in with people that long anymore. Books don't have a life in the bookshops for very long. If they're not immediately a hit, they just get shoved to the back. The big publishers all buy each other, and there's fewer and fewer corporate entities.
Wie sieht Audrey die Zukunft des Verlagswesens?
It's not so much whether people want novels or don't want novels. I think that there needs to be new small publishers, and that the economics of that are very daunting. I think it's sort of like what's going on right now with TV and movies. There's a lot of confusion about how to do this so that good things get made and people find them and watch them. I mean, a few years ago, everybody was talking about this golden age of TV, which, yeah, there's been some fantastic things made. And all of a sudden, everybody's like, okay, well, peak TV is over. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Why? I don't think the novel will go away because there's a DIY quality to novel writing. You don't need a lot of tools. It's not expensive to do it. People write them and people want them. So I think they'll continue to be novels. Whether publishing can continue to prosper, I don't know.
Das war Audrey Niffenegger im Interview für Radioaktiv. Ein großes Dankeschön an Audrey, dass sie sich die Zeit genommen hat und an euch fürs Zuhören. Bleibt gespannt auf weitere interessante Interviews mit Gästen aus der Unterhaltungsindustrie.